Well, it's time for the annual Bob Enyart Live Internet Telethon. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet for another year. Help keep Bob's message going out to a worldwide audience, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. If you like the teaching, if you like the resources, if you believe that this ministry is valuable and necessary in a lost and dying world, please go to the KGov store, sign up for the monthly Bible study, buy some products, arm yourself with some of the best Bible teaching available on the market today. Keep Bob Enyart's message going out to a worldwide audience on the internet for another year.
One warning is truth of ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Colorado this past week has repealed our law against adultery. So for 22 years on the air when the topic came up, we'd be able to explain here that in the last 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian legal history, adultery was not only a sin, it's also a crime, and it's still on the books in Colorado. It's part of the Colorado Criminal Code, except that some decades ago, the legislature removed the penalty from the law that prohibits adultery. Now, the Colorado legislature has repealed adultery, the crime, the prohibition of adultery from the Colorado Revised Statutes. So that, of course, it was predictable. We predicted such things, and it's going to lead to a further degradation of our culture and a further attack on those who trust in Jesus Christ and believe and promote a biblical worldview. Also, so we want to talk about that. I want to get to a little tutorial on economics. Which is the bad guy, the housing boom or the housing bust? Which is the bad guy? Also, the victory in North Dakota on Friday when the North Dakota House of Representatives voted, as the Senate had done recently, to pass their state's personhood amendment, which is historic. And here's what this means. There's going to be a celebration get together in Colorado, in Denver, Thursday night, April 4th at 7 o'clock at Highline Community Church. We're going to celebrate what the North Dakota legislature just did and also get together to strategize for the next battle, which will be in Colorado, to get personhood on the ballot. So what they did in North Dakota is that the legislature has now approved of and recommended to the people their state's personhood amendment, so that in November 2014, at the general election, that the people of North Dakota will be asked to vote to recognize the God-given right to life of the unborn child. Notice I didn't say that they would vote to establish the right to life of the unborn child. God did that. It's a God-given right. It doesn't come from the majority, doesn't come from the government, doesn't come from the delivery doctor or the hospital. It's the God-given right, and government should recognize and uphold that right. So when the people of North Dakota vote, they will be voting with the recommendation of their elected body, their state legislature, that they would also support the recognition and the upholding of the God-given right to life of unborn children. So that's very exciting. That's a cause to celebrate. It's historic. And so in Colorado, and the date and time, they're not finalized, but you might want to just jot this on your calendar. I think this is going to be the date and the time. I heard from Colorado Right to Life. April 4th, that's a Thursday evening, 7 p.m., when Heather Surovic will speak to the group about her baby who was 9 months old, little Brady, who was killed by the drunk driver, whose dead body was found in a Denver hotel room just this past week. An extraordinary and heart-wrenching story, and Heather will address the group. That is the church of Biff Gore, who's the president of Colorado Right to Life. It's going to be a wonderful time to celebrate the North Dakota victory and then to strategize for the next battle. So we celebrate the victory in one battle, North Dakota, while we get together to strategize how to move forward. The Brady Amendment is Colorado's 2014 personhood amendment. We've talked about that just a bit here on this program over the past couple months. And so, especially back when we were testifying at the legislature on the different fetal homicide and abortion ban bills. And so now this battle will be heating up. And it's just so encouraging to be able to get together to celebrate a victory as we ask God to give us the strength and the courage and the vision to fight on. Because as we fight for the God-given right to life of the unborn child, we remind the culture that there is a God and that we are alive because of him and that our rights come from him. They don't come from the Republican Party. They don't even come from Bill O'Reilly. They come from God. You know, all these phony conservative leaders, they're all going to cave in and begin to be supporters of homosexuality in increasingly significant ways. So beware of that. But here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've been warning people, watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing and look to the Lord, Jesus Christ. And then to those who advocate the gospel of Jesus Christ and God's word as true for leadership, for encouragement. It's very dangerous when you look to those who are ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you make them the leaders of the what? Conservative movement, the pro-life movement, the quasi-Christian movement. We also have the financial news about Spain and Cyprus. And of course, that is all a warning to all nations that are addicted to spending, including to America. But to evaluate the Wall Street Journal's explanation of Spain's crisis, we have to understand what a housing boom will do as compared to a housing bust. And let's see if there is not a case of economists blaming the messenger. I think that's what goes on commonly. Is it the housing boom or the bust that causes so much suffering? Now here at Bob and Yurt Live, we present a biblical, a Christian worldview. And a criminal code, for example, is based on five of the Ten Commandments. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, that is due process, and do not covet. That goes to motive in establishing guilt in a criminal trial. And so do not steal, that is the foundation of all understanding of economics and of economic justice. You have to begin with do not steal. Now, there's some of the Austrian economists, the conservative economists, like Ludwig von Mises is a perfect example of somebody who hated with a passion. He hated socialism and communism and the Keynesian economics that were interventionist. And he pretended, because he was effectively an agnostic, he pretended that you could be an economist and have no fundamental moral values. He pretended that being an economist was like being a physicist. And it doesn't matter the moral values of the scientist who is recording physical reactions, whether quantum physics or classical physics. The morality of that scientist doesn't matter. If you're measuring, recording, predicting chemical reactions, physical reactions, that's not a discipline that requires a moral worldview. If you want to get to origins, it does. But just simply being able to identify chemical reactions is something that atheists do very well. Now, von Mises, he wanted to claim, he wrote the classic book, Human Action. He claimed that you could be an economist and have no moral values whatsoever, be a blank slate. And that, of course, is absurd. And the difference between the chemist and the economist is that economics deals with interactions in the realm of human activity among human beings. And so our interactions typically are not morally neutral. And if you have an economy in which the government affirms stealing, for example, you get to the point, as von Mises explained very well, that you can't even do economic calculations. You just can't do them. Let's say you have a banana republic, and on the coast, there's this beautiful resort. Reminds me of Chavez, actually, in Venezuela. And there's a beautiful resort, and some Americans want to invest money in it. And they think, you know, it to build this and to get this real estate, you know, it could cost you $20 million to build this resort, and we could get it for $8 million. It's a deal, right? Except that the socialist government might nationalize it. They might come and say, you know what, we're going to give all this to the poor people of our country so that the poor people will reelect us. And so how do you make an economic calculation of what is this property worth if you live in a world of socialists and communists? Because of interventionism, you can't even make calculations. So that von Mises was fundamentally wrong when he said that you could be an economist and have no moral foundation. You don't have to have any values. And in his book, if you read Human Action, which I recommend, it's a great book written by an agnostic, but a great book, he cannot abide by his own principle that he does not have values, even in writing his book. Because on one page, he'll say, I have no values. I have no value system. I'm an economist. I do this all scientifically. And on the next page, you could see that his head almost explodes as he writes with extreme anger, virtual hatred of those who violate the fundamental principles of Judeo-Christian ethics in their economic worldview. So he says, I have no values, and he hates with a passion those who promote a socialist economic system. So I'd like to talk about the housing boom and the housing bust and figure out what is it that causes so much suffering and see how the Wall Street Journal does in explaining what's gone wrong in Spain. But first, we have a caller from Wisconsin. Tom, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Oh, thanks, Bob.
Sure thing.
Great show, as usual.
Thank you, sir.
I was listening to, I got your televised classics, which are great. Anybody who hasn't got them, I recommend that they get them. They're awesome.
Wow, that's kind of you, Tom, because this is our telethon, and as people subscribe, by the way, we're at $7,100 of our goal of $25,000, so we're far behind in our goal, but we're so thankful of those who have given.
Yeah, and on one of the televised classics, you had a caller that called in right towards the end, and he pointed out nation laws are inherently spiritual, and the laws will be made by the God of that nation.
Mm.
So if your God is the Lord, your laws will reflect that.
Yeah.
But if your laws are the will of the people, then the people are God, and their laws will express their selfishness.
What a brilliant caller. Was that you? Did you call in and say that, Tom?
No, okay. I didn't call in.
All right.
When I heard that, I was like, wow, what an insight. That was so true.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just and, a way of expressing it. I kind of known it all along, I guess.
And
but
the Bible says when a nation's laws are based on God's law, then the world will say, other nations will say, what nation is there like this nation that has such righteous laws? And not only will that nation prosper, but other people will admire it. Other people who have this inclination to know what is true and good and right. The kinds of people you want to admire you.
Correct. I mean, people, as you said, like the mouth can taste good food.
Right.
And the heart and the mind know truth.
Yeah, the mouth, just as the mouth can taste good food, the heart knows truth. Wow. All right. Anything else,
well,
Tom?
You know, von Mises, I've listened to his book, what you're talking about, and
Yeah.
And as far as why the housing bubble is going to happen, or which is the correction is the good part. That's the healing.
That's exactly right. You stole my thunder, but good for you, Tom. Thanks for being clear thinking.
Yeah. You can't inflate the money supply without it going somewhere.
Well, hey, Tom, good for you. And, hey, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. Same number to call in to make a donation to our telethon or to order some of our Bible studies, CDs, DVDs, our topical DVDs. You'll love them, our topical videos, and our BEL Televised Classics. When this program was on the air, people subscribe and they get 4 or 8 of them or 12 of them a month. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so is it the housing boom or the bust that causes so much suffering? I'd like to think through this with you guys. Think about thousands of contractors and families. They're in a building or a mortgage crisis. Countless mortgages go into foreclosure. Thousands of building projects end up unfinished with pilings down, basements dug, concrete work and framing is done, but the project stalls. Have you heard of these kinds of problems? And it's in serious crisis, even perhaps becoming a distressed property before it's even completed. These kinds of problems, when they're multiplied by the tens of thousands or even millions, and around the world, they're often attributed to a housing bust. But is that true? Isn't it more accurate to say that the real problem was the housing boom? That the housing boom was the monster that created the crisis? Remember Jesus said that if you intend to build, this is in Luke chapter 14, he said, do you not first sit down and count the cost, whether you have enough to finish the project? Lest after you have laid the foundation and are not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock you, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And the Lord was right, of course, right? So regarding a housing boom and a housing bust, which is the liar? In which is telling you the truth? What would cause 10,000 builders to start projects that they can't finish? The bust or the boom? Remember the Apostle Paul, what he said? Was he an economist? You know, the Bible will help you understand in all realms of human endeavor, history, science, morality, governmental principles, family relations, business relations. So the Apostle Paul, the New Testament, when it tells us to serve one another, and people wonder, what is it that makes the economy function? It's exactly that command from God, serve one another. When we serve one another, that's what makes the economy function. It's not money per se, it's when we serve one another. So as the Apostle Paul wrote, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's a good one, isn't it? Is it the boom that is the con man that's your enemy? Or is it the bust that's your friend? Because of greed, because of rebellion against God and his word, and a willingness even to hurt others so that we ourselves can prosper, the Wall Street Journal, along with most of society, like the Democrats, and even many Republicans, people say, why do you pronounce it Republicans? Because when Jesus was here, you know, they had the publicans, and that was a disaster. So they thought, well, let's try it again. Now they have the Republicans. We just had, thank you, Andrew, from Lakewood. Andrew just purchased the BEL audio library. That is all the audio Bible studies and seminars that we've produced over the years, all available on CD that you get for, what is it, about $500? $500. And so now we're at $7,650. Andrew, thank you. Thank you very much. $7,650. Now, that was a big chunk toward our goal. The goal is $25,000, and virtually desperately, we need to meet that goal. We do not have a big foundation behind us. We don't have a little foundation behind us. We don't have a mega church behind us. This program is on the air because of our listeners who enjoy our teachings and get our DVDs and our CDs and our books and the few third-party materials that we think are just so great that we offer through our store at kgov.com, especially our science materials, kgov.com. Click on the store or call us 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. So the Democrats, even many Republicans, they'll follow the interventionist economics of John Maynard Keynes. Remember his Keynesian economics and his confusion regarding the business cycle? And they blame the messenger, that is the bust, instead of the con man, which is the boom. So it's the housing boom that's the problem. You don't shoot the messenger. The messenger is the bust. But millions of families, businessmen, builders, when you think about what motivates them and what got them into the troubles that they're in, millions of families are not enticed by a housing bust into starting projects they cannot finish. That's normally when they get their senses with the housing bust. Businessmen, tens of thousands of builders are not enticed by a housing bust to start a project that they're going to lose their life savings on. It is the artificial housing boom that performs the con job. So yesterday I was reading in the Wall Street Journal, and this is not an especially great example of this, but it caught my eye and I thought I'd share it with you. Whereas in Spain, the government will impose heavy losses on those who have invested money in their national banks. Right? You get that? The government will impose heavy losses on those who have invested money in their banks. Like in Cyprus, they're saying, look, if you have, you know, if you have $100,000 in our bank in Cyprus, we're going to take about $40,000 of it. We're just going to take it because we need it. You got a million, they'll take about $400,000, something like that, round numbers like that. So the Wall Street Journal reporting from Madrid, they should be able to recognize the factors which led to Spain's difficulty. They should say basically two things. It's government interventionism and it's the housing boom, which was caused by the interventionism. So the government shouldn't be in the position to arbitrarily decide who's going to pay the piper now for this past financial irresponsibility and moral failure. Rather, you know, like water can, the pain should find its own path. And then in our economies, it is typically government interventionist policy that causes a housing boom, which is the problem, not the bust. The bust is the correction. The bust is reality interfering with the socialist fantasy of politicians and left-wing economists. So instead of actually including in its story the recognition of what's wrong in Spain, the Wall Street Journal found a way to blame all this on the housing bust, the collapse, instead of blaming it on the government's interventionism and its creation of an unsupportable housing boom. So the journal wrote yesterday that the Spanish government will impose heavy losses on investors at nationalized banks as its latest effort to overhaul a financial sector battered by the collapse of the housing boom. So who's the bad guy here? Well, the bad guy is the collapse. Sounds like everyone involved, the government, builders, investors, homeowners, everyone was merely going about their lives ethically, business as usual, and all of a sudden, this terribly mean collapse, this bust ruined everyone's good intentions. How dare that bust interfere with our plans for prosperity? If only John Maynard Keynes were here himself, you know, like a master conductor, he could have orchestrated a perfectly harmonious housing boom that would continue to blossom until everyone in the nation has their dream home. Wouldn't that be great? And then ever so gradually, he could have reduced the housing starts so that no one would suffer any pain. No one would even notice. The building levels would come down naturally, by attrition even. Thinking clearly about economics is part of a complete biblical worldview. Socialism is wrong, not because it's less effective than capitalism at achieving prosperity, but socialism is wrong because God commanded, do not steal. You know, Jesus wasn't talking about building a tower in Luke, but about counting the cost of following him. A bit earlier, Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Remember, he said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. Just awesome to trust in Jesus Christ and the clarity of vision that gives you. I think about the Democrats. They repealed the adultery law. And no kidding, we've been predicting this for so many years on Bob and Yurt Live because Focus on the Family repealed it in their own statements of public policy 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when Dr. Dobson said, you know, we need to regulate pornography. What, regulate pornography? That's like regulating prostitution. You don't regulate homosexuality. You don't regulate child killing. You don't regulate the Holocaust. You don't regulate lynching black people. You have the courage. You can't be ashamed that God made us male and female. God said that the marriage is where human intimacy is acceptable and legal and just. But if we're going to regulate all these things, hey, get ready. It's going down fast. God bless you.